From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Machapinto. Despite a court ruling earlier this month that allows the planned Utah inland port to move forward, opponents still see potential for legal challenges under the Federal Clean Air and Clean Water Acts. Dita Seed is with the Stop the Polluting Port Coalition.
You're not going to give up. It's the future of Utah that's at stake with this.
The environmental group released a report yesterday on what they say will be the negative impacts of the project, like air pollution and destruction of wildlife habitat. A new website will inform Utah drivers about Tier 3 gasoline and where they can find it in Utah. Tier 3 gas has a lower sulfur content and could reduce harmful emissions, especially when used in cars model year 2017 or newer. Tier3gas.org describes the gas and its benefits with a map of Utah gas stations that carry it. The site was put together by State Representative Suzanne Harrison, who is a member of KUER's advisory board, along with clean air advocates. The Tooele County attorney announced the identity of the minor suspected of killing four members of his family last weekend in Grantsville. As KUER's John Reed reports, the 16-year-old is facing 10 charges in Utah District Court, including four counts of aggravated murder.
Under Utah state law, given the nature of the crime, prosecutors have to try Colin Haney as an adult, which means that if convicted, he could spend the rest of his life in adult state prison. Anna Thomas, with Voices for Utah Children, says while the situation is tragic, locking a kid up and throwing away the key usually does more harm than good.
We know it's not effective in terms of rehabilitating anyone. Like, as a society, what are we getting out of that?
That was one of the main reasons behind Utah's juvenile justice reform in 2017. A state analysis found that the longer kids were locked up, the greater their chances of committing another crime. Republican State Representative Lowry Snow was the main lawmaker behind those reforms. Now he's working on a bill that would give judges the option of keeping minors like Haney in the juvenile system. He says there's a difference between criminal justice for young people and adults.
A young person does not have the same reasoning, capability, or the ability to evaluate the consequences of their actions as an adult does.
It's unlikely, though, that the bill would apply to the Grantsville case or to any young people in Utah already serving time as adults. John Reed, KUER News.
Volunteers from organizations such as ACLU of Utah, Black Lives Matter, and Ogden Indivisible will help Davis County Correctional Facility inmates register to vote next week. Inmates are eligible to vote if they are U.S. citizens, 18 or older, and are not convicted of a felony or election code misdemeanor. Davis County Sheriff Kelly Sparks says there are many misconceptions about voting as an inmate and that partnering with local nonprofits will help educate inmates about their rights. Workers inside the Bureau of Land Management are looking to unionize ahead of the agency's move to Colorado. E&E News reports that the National Treasury Employees Union has filed a formal petition with the Federal Labor Relations Authority to establish a collective bargaining unit. Dozens of Washington, D.C.-based employees are seeking the protections, most of whom were reassigned to state offices around the West. Union reps met with employees in the fall ahead of workers' decision to petition. BLM confirms receipt of the petition and is reviewing it. The agency believes its migration west will be completed this year, but is unclear how many employees now in the nation's capital will move. BLM has yet to release any numbers to the public detailing how many employees are leaving the Bureau and how many are moving west. The agency believes its migration west will be completed this year, but it's unclear how many employees now in the nation's capital will move. BLM has yet to release any numbers to the public. St. George has managed its namesake marathon for the past four decades, but now, for the first time, city officials are asking whether a private contractor may be a better way to go. KUER's David Fox has more from our Southwest News Bureau.
The St. George Marathon is one of the city's biggest events. The race is a qualifier for the Boston Marathon and attracts over 10,000 people to the city every year. St. George has always relied on its own staff and volunteers to pull it off. But according to Art and Events Director Michelle Graves, the city council recently told her team to consider outside help.
Most big events, like this marathon, are privatized. And so we understand the importance to the community of putting this event on and providing it, but it takes time and resources.
The city will still own and host the marathon, even if a contractor takes over operations. Graves says this is simply to see if there are less expensive ways of doing it, so nothing is decided yet. The window for contractors to submit proposals closes in early February, and the city will make its decision before marathon registration opens on April 1st. David Fox, KUER News.
And I'm Diane Maggio Pinto, KUER News.